This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian Broaddus, Crawfish, Draft 101 tonight, translating press conferences, all of it right now on 105.3 The Fan on the buyersafety.com hotline with Sean and RJ on the home of America's team. Good morning, Broaddus. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Trying to figure out where to start.
Okay. Hey, by the way, did you know Snoop Dogg and I share the same last name?
What?
Oh, yeah.
His last name is Broaddus. Calvin Broaddus.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he spelled the same way?
No, he's one D. I made a lot of D's in my life, so he's got one less D than me.
Did you ever partake in the past or the past?
I'll tell you what, I give you credit for asking questions. How about that?
All right. Enough said.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Is there a chance that they would really draft a running back in the second round?
And you're getting scared, aren't you, right now?
I don't know if I'm getting... You're
getting a little nervous?
It depends if you want Zeke back or not with that the salary.
Yeah, I think that, to me, though, this is where you look at this draft and picking at 58, and you're saying, okay, you look at the players on the board, you look at the cluster of players. I asked Stephen Jones that question. Well, I asked all the guys the question. Stephen just happened to answer.
Yeah.
But you look at, you know, at that point in time, and my top 100 comes out tomorrow. And so I'm looking at my names right there, and I'm thinking, okay, at 58, where do I got a guy like Damian Harris ranked? I got him at 56. Dane Brugler's got him at 55. So we're both kind of thinking in the same ballpark right there. So, you know, that to me, that won't be a reach. That won't be a stretch. That won't be something, you know, you're taking a player that right now will be a backup, but potentially could be a starter for you. And we all kind of saw what happened to Zeke at the end of that, at end of the year last year. And, you know, that's something they've done a really nice job of protecting themselves with the additions that they made along the defensive line. You know, I think that they probably will still draft a defensive lineman, a corner, a safety. But running back should not be one of those things, because if they get up there on that board and they get wiped out at certain positions, yeah, and all of a sudden Damian Harris is sitting there staring him in the face, well, they could say, okay, what other cluster of players do we have there? Is there anybody better than Damian Harris? Is there another running back within reach if we were to back up in this draft? If someone were to offer us something for our pick, is there another running back that we can grab? And, you know, if I look at my – as I look at my top, you know, 100, you know, I go from Harris to Daryl Henderson from Memphis at 69. So I go from, you know, basically 56 to 69 where the next running back is on my board.
Boy,
so
Bryce Love's nowhere to be found.
Well, Bryce Love is a situation because of his knee injury, you know, where he's at. Excuse me there. And so I think that, you know, Bryce Love would be, if Bryce Love was healthy in this draft, you know, Bryce Love would probably be considered, you know, in that spot where, you know, you'd have him in that second round. But there is, you know, a possibility of him starting on PUP for the season. He hurt his knee in the ACL in the Cal game, the last game of the season. So he's having to deal with that. He's a tremendous player, Choppy. Don't get me wrong about that. But yeah, that's kind of where the next running back would go. So yeah, this is an organization that's kind of, you know, it's got a deep roster. It's got a roster that's kind of, you know, whoever you draft at 58 is likely to be a backup anyway, and you know, very well could be a backup running back.
But you think it would be more Zeke insurance instead of a replacement for when his fifth-year option's over with?
Yeah, but you know what? That gives you options again. Yeah. Now, this is where you know, you look at them drafting Taco and where he was at, and you're thinking, well, maybe when you draft Taco, you're looking ahead in the future. Could Taco be good enough? Can he play well enough to maybe that you wouldn't have to extend, you know, you wouldn't have to extend Lawrence or something? You know, maybe you have to, you know, you look, or maybe it's Taco and, okay, now we're going to move on from Crawford, who's playing in for you right now, you know. So, yeah, I think that, you know, when you draft, you kind of, you look ahead a little bit, you try and think about, you try and plot and plan, you know, where potentially, you know, you're going to need some depth at certain positions and maybe a potential starter. But and that's why I don't think you rule out the cornerback here either. You know, I think they're going to look at their cornerback situation with Byron and Anthony Brown and Cheeto and Jordan Lewis and those guys and say, okay, if we add a corner now, does that buy us a couple more years, you know, with a quality guy that could step in and be a starter?
Brian brought us here on The Fan. You heard yesterday Gil Brandt say that there are 15 to 17 first rounders.
Yeah.
And 17 to 70
right.
look similar. What do you think of that assessment?
Yeah, I've got 25 first round grades, and that's really, really rare for me. And that's even without a first round wide receiver and a first round safety.
So that's more than normal.
That's more than normal. Traditionally you'll have somewhere between 18 and 20 names. So when you're picking, you know, when you're picking names after say 20, you're picking 21, 22, 23. You're talking about second-round grades. If you look at the Cowboys, they drafted Travis Frederick several years ago at 30, and he was a second-round grade on their board. So people don't set their board. Now, it's a possibility you might have 32 first-round names, but in actuality, you really it tells you usually you have somewhere between 18 and 20 names that are first-round. So, yeah, it's I do agree. I do agree with the depth. 17 to 50, I think, is a little bit of a stretch on that. I I've got it at 25, but then I look at my next group of guys. You know, you start about for second round grades, they go from 26 to 57. So that would be second round there. So, you know, from 1 to 57, I think is actually a pretty good group of guys. And then you start to get the third round grades for me. But I've got third round grades on guys like Anthony Nelson from Iowa, Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M, the tight end, Darnell Savage, the safety from Maryland, and Max Crosby, Dawson Knox. I mean, these are names that kind of people are floating around for the Cowboys to pick there at 58. So, it you know, it just kind of tells you if those guys are the names you got have got in the third round, that there's some quality names in the second round that they could potentially grab.
How much, like, board manipulation goes on this time?
None. Not, if you're talking about setting the board, that's where the manipulation comes. But once you set the board, you pretty much don't jump tags. That's something that Gil Brandt brought up yesterday about Joe Montana. You know, you just don't jump tags. If you stack that board, you know, we did it with Jason Witten, and I just remember we took a center from Wisconsin named Al Johnson in the second round, and we were looking at it was either going to be Witten or Al Johnson, and, you know, we were going on, you know, kind of thinking about, well, you know, both these guys have first round grades. You know, which one do we need right now? Well, let's take the center. And then it just so happened that Witten, you know, appeared there in the third round. It was a pretty deep draft for tight ends, Dallas Clark, Mike Seidman, LJ Smith. They had some tight ends in that draft. So, you know, when it came time to it and the board was open for us, we looked at it and Jerry looked at Bill Parcells and said, we got to take Jason Witten here, don't we? And he says, no, absolutely we do. And that's the one thing about if your board's right and you trust your board, you know, players like that tend to kind of fall to you that way. And, you know, we've got the draft gods were smiling on us that day for sure. But, you know, if you set your board and don't manipulate it, you know, during the draft, then you're probably going to have a pretty good draft.
Brian brought us Draft 101 tonight, Facebook Live, streaming at 105throughthefan.com, cooking the crawfish with Shell Shack on Saturday for Mudbug Bash. Question of the week. Cowboy question of the week has been, what impact will the Russell Wilson deal have on Dak's contract? What's your take on that?
I think it really won't have any impact at all because I don't think they see Russell Wilson, they don't see Dak Prescott as a $35 million a year player.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, and this is funny because Mickey and I had this argument, and Mickey is usually very, and I think you guys just did Mickey Fisher this morning, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Mickey Fisher was very positive about things. So, but the real
said the Cowboys got screwed with the schedule.
Yeah. And that's too many December games. That's the problem there. But no, I think that if you look at the contracts, you know, he, and I think you guys were talking about this yesterday when I was driving in, the contracts of, you know, the Carson Wentzes and guys like that, the contracts that are coming up with players that are more in his area. And I think that, you know, Mickey was actually really good about this, you know, because I usually fight with Mickey about this all the time. He wants to pay everybody $100 million. But, you know, in actuality, Mickey said, no, he's not. This is not a $35 million a year player. This is somewhere between a $25 and $28 million a year player.
Mm.
And so, you know, and I tend to agree with Mickey on that. I feel like that, yes, you have to pay Dak Prescott, you know, but I don't feel like it always has to be at market value. I think that you have to find ways to say, okay, this is the type of player you are. This is how we feel. And, you know, again, the player is going to feel like that he's clearly worth more. And there's no hometown discounts or anything here. I mean, these contract negotiations are tough and, you know, you do what you have to do. But I think with Dak, that they have a ballpark figure in mind. It's probably somewhere between I was thinking about how can you guarantee him if you went $30 million for 3 years and then Mickey accused me of being scared. And, you know, and Mickey's right. You know, if you say, okay, I'll give you 3 years, $90 million guaranteed, you know, that's kind of like saying, I would like to have you here, but
right.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
And Mickey,
it's a prenup.
And Mickey rightfully accused me of being scared. And, you know, he's not wrong. And so I think that we're all a little bit nervous. I think we realize that Dak needs to be paid, but I think we're all scared of the number. And I think the same thing happened to the all the Tolos out there and fans that felt like that, no, hey, I'm not going to pay Lawrence $23 million a year. I'm not going to do that, you know, but you got him at 21. So, you know, hopefully that Stephen Jones, Adam Pacifica, Todd Williams, those guys, when they sit down with Dak's representation, that they can hammer out this thing. But it's likely going to become between, you know, 26 and I would say probably $28 million a year.
What'd you notice from the schedule?
You know, I was kind of interested to where they were going to put the Jets and the Giants. I know this sounds funny.
Jets.
Yeah, it's the trips to the Meadowlands.
It's a random time where it's like the one time every 8 years.
Yeah,
there's two trips.
Yeah,
there's
two trips to the Meadowlands. And I was kind of interested to how that, were they going to put one real early in the year and then one real late in the year, or were they, but they kind of put them right there next to each other, which, you know, I've been on several of those Meadowlands trips, and one of the Meadowlands trips happens to be a Monday night game coming back from the Giants. And so then you got the Vikings the next week. Those are long trips. Those Meadowlands trips are long. And it always, I just remember, you know, going there. And that's when the Giants were a little bit better playing. You know, they kind of beat you up a little bit. But I was real interested how close they were going to put those trips together. I do feel like, though, there's a really, really tough stretch. That New England, I think Fisher talked about it this morning, that New England, Chicago, Rams, Philly combination in December does them no favors. If they don't start off well and build some equity before they get to that point in the season, we could be looking at games that are must win. And to me, they're all must win to me because there's only 16 of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're talking about, okay, who's going to be better? The Giants going to be better, or the Rams, the Redskins going to be better. You know, the Eagles going to be better. I mean, this is where I think that this, you know, you have to put away as many games as you can early, because there are clearly some games at the end of that schedule that every week it's going to be a playoff game.
What time does it start tonight?
We start at 7 o'clock tonight, so looking forward to it. I hope we got all the invitations out, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And, if you're coming tonight, be ready to be challenged. I'm not going to sit there and just let you watch us all talk. You know, if you're going to, you know, don't feel we're not, you know, we're going to get in your face a little bit, but we expect you guys to get in our faces as well. So it's a lot of interaction, a lot of good times. Hopefully we'll educate some folks tonight about the draft.
Thanks, Broadus.
Take care, boys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.